Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take the source materials you're curious about and really pull out the core insights. We give you that shortcut to getting well-informed.
And for this deep dive, we're looking at something pretty fun, a request from a listener. They shared a specific D&D session with us, session 5 of their Dungeon of the Mad Mage campaign.
Exactly. So our source is the YouTube transcript of that session and the mission, basically to figure out what really happened down there. What were the big challenges, the key finds, you know, the stuff that mattered.
Yeah. And there's some classic D&D stuff in here. Weird monsters, magic items.
Dangerous situations, funny moments too. Okay, let's get into it. So we've got this adventuring party. They're heading deeper into the Dungeon of the Mad Mage. They hit some, well, unusual enemies and found some pretty intriguing things. What jumps out first?
Well, right at the start, they hear sounds. Sounds like a goblin army off to the north.
Okay.
Which, they note, confirms they're doing their job.
Yeah.
So it immediately establishes, you know, they're not alone. This place is active.
That's a good point. It's not just an empty maze. And then, almost right away, they find this hallway. But it's full of dead goblins.
Wait, and not just killed in a normal fight. The description mentions strange punctures, ripped flesh. It's odd.
Definitely sets up a mystery. Like, what could do that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
A great hook. Before they even see a living threat, the environment itself is telling them something nasty is around.
So they proceed cautiously, use stealth, and find a bigger room. More dead goblins.
And the culprits. Two grells.
Okay, describe these things. They sound unpleasant.
Well, they are. Picture a floating brain, basically, with a sharp beak and maybe 10 tentacles hanging down.
Tentacles, right.
Yeah. Covered in these, like, ring muscles.
Yeah.
And each one ends in a sharp barb. Definitely alien.
Floating brain things with barbed tentacles. Got it. Not exactly welcoming.
Not at all. So, naturally, a fight breaks out.
And we see some standard adventuring tactics. Spells flying.
Yep. Ray of frost, which is, you know, cold damage, slows them down. Someone throws a fireball.
Mm-hmm.
Always a crowd pleaser.
Ah, yeah. Big boom.
And a conjured ice knife gets used too. Looks like they get the upper hand at first. That ice knife takes one down, actually. Shows some good magical versatility.
Smart use of spells. But it doesn't all go smoothly, I take it.
No. One of the party members gets tagged by a grell tentacle.
Oh. The barbs.
Yeah. And the effect is nasty. Poisoned and paralyzed.
Oof. Paralysis is rough. Takes you right out of the fight. That suddenly makes this encounter way more dangerous.
Totally. Leaves them super vulnerable. But they managed to finish off the second grell.
Okay, good. And the paralyzed party member?
They need a short rest. Use a healer's kit. The spellcaster uses arcane recovery to get some spell power back.
Right.
And yeah, the character recovers. Party resilience, you know.
Always good to have healers and ways to recover. Shows a well-rounded party, really.
Definitely essential in a place like this dungeon.
Okay, so grell threat neutralized. What's next? They move on and find something else weird, I bet.
You bet. A room with 5 pillars. But these pillars are made of mortared humanoid bones.
Bones! Serious?
Yeah, mortared together and painted black. It's quite the look. Super unsettling imagery.
No kidding. That tells you something about this level of the dungeon. It's got a dark history or some seriously morbid architecture.
Sure. Just screams dread. So they send out a bat scout. Maybe a familiar or a wild-shaped druid. Doesn't specify.
Okay.
And the bat finds empty corridors and doors nearby. Seems quiet for a moment.
So they check one of the doors.
They do. And behind it, there's this room with a wooden armor stand. Stabbed into the stand is a longsword, and it's glowing faintly.
Ooh, a glowing sword. Classic.
Right. And at the base of the stand, there are skeletal remains. Just a hand, basically.
Creepy. Anything else?
Yeah, something interesting. Faint echoes of voices coming from vents in the ceiling.
Hmm.
Distant. Maybe leading up towards the surface.
Hmm. That's a potentially important clue. Escape route? Or just more dungeon?
Could be either. It adds another layer. But the sword is right there, glowing.
So obviously they want the sword. How do they get it? Poke it with a stick.
Huh. Close. Mage hand. Smart move. Keeps their distance.
Good call. And they identify it. What is it?
It's identified as a good quality sword, but the magic is just a simple light spell. Makes it glow. Seems, okay, right. Useful, maybe.
Yeah, seems harmless enough. A magical light source that's also a weapon.
That's what they thought. But as one of them goes to wrap it in cloth to stow it.
Let me guess. Something goes wrong.
Bingo. Their hand gets stuck to the sword. They can't let go.
Oh, no. A cursed item. That's brilliant. And frustrating for the player, I bet.
Absolutely. What looked like a nice little find turns into a major problem.
Can they force it off? Or drop it?
Nope, they can't drop it. And if they somehow manage to pull their hand away, the sword just teleports right back into their grip.
Wow. Okay, so what can they do?
Well, the immediate solutions mentioned are a remove curse spell, which maybe they don't have prepared. Or...
don't leave me hanging!
Or cutting off the hand.
Yikes! Okay, that's a proper curse. Suddenly that glowing sword isn't looking so good. It really drives home that you gotta be careful what you pick up down here.
Exactly. Classic Undermountain. Full of treasure and traps, often combined.
So dealing with a cursed sword stuck to someone's hand, where do they go from there?
They continue exploring. Maybe looking for that remove curse solution. And they find a secret door they missed earlier.
Always recheck those walls.
And then another door, which opens into a small room with another secret door inside it.
Secret door inception.
Okay. But opening this second secret door triggers something. A stack of ceramic plates was apparently balanced behind it.
Oh, clever.
Yeah, they fall and smash loudly in the hallway next door. Alarm triggered. So much for being sneaky.
Right. The dungeon bites back. That could draw attention.
Could do. But they press on. The Bat Scout checks out another room. This one has three big stone statues of nobles. Malarn nobles, the name suggests.
Okay, statues. Standard dungeon decor sometimes.
Yeah, but the goblins have been here. They've renamed the statues.
Oh, this should be good.
The names are now Smelly Bottom, Stupid Skull, and Born Toothless.
Smelly Bottom. You gotta love goblin graffiti artists. Adds a bit of character, I guess. Shows the goblins aren't too respectful of the old nobles.
Definitely gives you a sense of their culture.
Yeah.
Anyway, at the base of the middle statue, Stupid Skull, they find hobgoblin bones and a broken staff, white wood.
Broken staff. Magic.
Detect magic says yes. Lingering magic. So they use mending to fix it.
Handy spell?
Very. And identify reveals. It's a staff of charming. Needs attunement by certain classes, but lets you influence people. Pretty useful.
Nice find. Especially after the cursed sword incident. A staff of charming could be really helpful. Where did it come from, though? Hobgoblin guarding it?
Maybe. The bones suggest a fight happened there. Who knows? Mm. They take the staff and head up some stairs.
Stairs going up leading to?
A massive throne room. Huge place. 70-foot vaulted ceiling.
Impressive. What's the throne like? Made of gold? Skulls?
Skulls is closer. It's made of interwoven, bleached bones. And the armrests are carved like snake heads.
Okay, very Undermountain. Bleached bone throne. What else is in the room?
A big wyvern skeleton hanging around. More dead bodies, bandits, goblins, and three live goblins. Battered, but alive, and they look like they're celebrating something.
Celebrating amidst the carnage. Okay, how does the party handle live goblins this time?
One of them gets clever. Uses minor illusion, makes their eyes flare with this, like, menacing glow.
Ooh, nice move. Intimidation through illusion.
Totally works. The goblins see the glowing eyes and immediately think this person is their boss, or boss anyway. Oh. They bow down.
Huh. Brilliant. So, instant allies.
Sort of. The goblins start babbling about their great victories, probably exaggerating like crazy. They mention fighting grells and also rumors of a big evil behind a northern door. Useful intel, maybe?
Interesting. But the party's not really looking for goblin followers right now.
Doesn't seem like it. They're more focused on exploring. So they tell the goblins, basically, go claim that throne in our name.
Uh-oh. The bone throne with the snake armrests? I have a bad feeling about this.
You should. One goblin, eager to please, runs over and sits right down. And the snake head armrests come alive. They bite the goblin, injecting poison.
Called it animated throne trap?
Exactly. They managed to pull the poor goblin free, but he's paralyzed by the poison, just like the party member earlier.
Man, paralysis seems common on this level, so what happens then?
The party just declares the paralyzed goblin unworthy to sit there, tells the other two pick a new leader, and the remaining two goblins just kind of shuffle off leaderless again.
Wow. Cold, but effective, I guess. Avoided a fight, tested the throne trap, using goblin pawns. A bit ruthless.
Maybe pragmatic in a deadly dungeon. They certainly prioritize their own safety there.
Fair point. So throne room clear, mostly. Time to loot.
Time to loot. They search around, find some disguise kits, rations, a bit of gold, and a tiger eye gemstone. Standard adventuring finds.
Okay. Any more exploration in this area?
Yep. The Bat goes scouting again, finds a long corridor lined with granite statues of human warriors.
More statues.
But these ones are defaced. Features scratched off, nameplates damaged. And the ceiling is high, like 20 feet, covered in cobwebs.
Defaced statues. Someone didn't like these warriors. More history hints. Cobwebs mean spiders.
Possibly. Or just age. They investigate the statues closer and find Primarchs. Looks like jewels used to be set into them, but someone took them.
Looted already. Shame. Anything else down that corridor?
A side room contains a dead human body. Looks like another adventurer, maybe. Discarded gear nearby, empty money pouch. No magic detected, just another grim tableau.
Yeah, the dungeon claims another one. It really paints a picture of constant danger and failure for many who enter.
It does. It adds to the atmosphere. Keep finding these little reminders.
So where next? More doors.
More doors. One opens into a small room just filled with skulls. Thousands of them.
Okay, that's excessive. Just skulls. Any magic?
Just skulls. No magic detected. Super creepy, but maybe just storage or a warning.
Who knows in this place? Keep going.
They find a dead-end corridor. But wait. They search it carefully. Hidden door.
Yes. Rewarding that thorough search. What's behind door number? Well, the hidden one.
A room with a green copper helmet sitting on another throne. This one's copper.
Another throne. This level has a throne fixation. Magic.
Detect magic pings something, but not the throne or helmet. It's coming from the ceiling. A hidden compartment.
Uh-huh. Mage hand time again.
You know it. Mage hand triggers a compartment, and down falls a wand of secrets.
Oh, very nice find. What does it do?
Three charges. When you use one, it pulses and points towards the nearest secret door or trap within 30 feet. Recharges each day.
That is incredibly useful in a place called the Dungeon of the Mad Mage. That could save their skins or lead them to more loot. Big win.
Huge win, especially given how many secret doors they've already found just blundering around. This makes it systematic.
Okay, so armed with the Wand of Secrets, do they immediately find more secrets?
Not immediately. They loop back towards that hall of statues, the defaced warrior ones. And now they notice something else. Carcasses of three giant spiders.
Ah, knew the cobwebs meant something. Spiders, but dead ones.
Yep, riddled with crossbow bolts. Looks like someone else dealt with them recently. Maybe drow. Goblins, other adventurers.
More signs of other actors in the dungeon. It's a busy place.
It really is. The Bat Scout continues down that statue hall, by the way. Counts 38 statues in total. And sees the hallway continue south with more doors. It just keeps going.
38 statues. Wow. This place is vast. So do they check the southern doors?
They check one. It opens into an empty 10-foot square room. Nothing there.
Huh. A bit anticlimactic after all that.
But wait. As the door opens, something does happen. Apparitions appear. Ghosts, maybe?
Ghosts. Hostile.
Doesn't seem like it. They look like past adventurers. They seem lost, confused, and they just wander off, passing right through walls, deeper into the dungeon. They don't even seem to notice the party.
Whoa. That's eerie. Like echoes of the past. A reminder of all the people who got lost down here.
Exactly. Very atmospheric. Adds that layer of psychological dread. Mm. Are they going to end up like that?
Chilling thought. Okay, shaking off the ghostly encounter, where to next?
They find a hallway sloping downwards. It leads to a room with a domed ceiling.
Yeah.
And in the middle, this is weird, a large puddle of sizzling green acid.
Okay.
Just floating in the air.
Floating acid? How does that even work? Magic, obviously, but still.
Magic, I guess. And below the floating acid blob is a statue of a four-armed fish monster.
Four-armed fish monster.
Right.
Standard Tuesday in Undermountain.
And the fish monster statue is holding a stone box with a keyhole.
A keyhole. Didn't they find a key earlier? Maybe near the Grells or something?
Your transcript implies they had found one. Yes.
Yeah.
And guess what? It fits the box.
Awesome. Payoff for carrying random keys around. So they open it. What's inside? Treasure. Another trap.
They open it. Detect magic initially finds nothing on the closed box, but as the lid opens, magic suddenly radiates from inside.
Ooh, sneaky. So mage hand again.
Always mage hand for suspicious boxes. It reaches in and pulls out a heart.
A heart. Please tell me it's like a jeweled heart or something.
Nope. A dry, withered, actual heart. Radiating necromantic magic.
Oh, lovely. Definitely cursed.
Right. Identified is a very rare curse item. If a creature attunes to it, basically tries to use its magic.
Yeah.
The withered heart instantly switches places with their own living heart.
Instant death. That's horrifying. Wow. Okay, note to self. Do not attune to random withered hearts found in fish monster boxes under floating acid.
Good note to take. It's an incredibly dangerous item. A real test of player restraint, maybe? Or just a deadly trap?
Seriously. Talk about risk versus reward, except there's no reward, just death. What do they do with it? Chuck it in the acid.
Transcript doesn't say, but hopefully they leave it alone. Moving on, the Bat Scout finds another room. Collapsed weapon racks, mostly empty. But there's a hand axe stuck firmly in a wooden door.
An axe in a door.
Oh, okay.
Anything behind the door?
Yep. Another small room.
Huh?
This one has a stone sharpening wheel, like for weapons.
Uh-huh.
But it's seized up, won't turn.
Oh, but they have mending.
Exactly. Quick mend spell, and the wheel is spinning freely again. So they take the hand axe from the other door.
It's stuck in the door.
Yeah. And they sharpen it on the wheel. Turns out it's just an ordinary hand axe, but hey, now it's a sharp, ordinary hand axe.
Sometimes practical maintenance is its own reward in a dungeon. Better than a death heart.
Much better. Okay, nearly at the end of the session's exploration now, they find a set of double doors marked with an Elder Rune.
Elder Rune! Like ancient, powerful magic symbol.
That's the idea. These things can have potent, often unpredictable effects. They can't figure out what this specific rune means right away. One player plans to research it later.
So do they open the doors anyway? Risk it?
They do. And opening the doors triggers something. A random mystical effect washes over one party member.
Good effect, bad effect.
Incredibly good effect. For the next 24 hours, that character gains immunity to a whole list of nasty conditions. Blinded, charmed, deafened, frightened, paralyzed.
Oh.
Petrified, poisoned, stunned. The works. Plus, if they drop to 0 hit points, they automatically stabilize.
That is an amazing boon. Especially the condition immunities. That's huge. What a lucky break from a random rune. Seriously lucky. Could be a game changer for the next encounters. It really highlights that sometimes the big risks in the dungeon do pay off.
Definitely. Okay, so feeling pretty good after that boon, they probably feel ready for anything, right? What's behind the next set of doors? This is where the session ends, right?
This is the cliffhanger. They open another set of double doors, revealing an extremely large room.
Larger than the throne room.
Sounds like it. Yeah. And it's clearly a lair. Torn tapestries, curtains ripped down, bones scattered everywhere, piles of broken stone-like nests.
A lair for what? Please don't say dragon.
Not a dragon. Worse, maybe. 3 large manticores.
3 manticores in one room? Oh, man. That's the cliffhanger ending. All right. Session over right there.
Yep. Doors open, see 3 manticores, a Hannon cutscene. End of session 5. What a ride.
No kidding. So just recapping session 5.
Yeah.
They fight Grells, get someone paralyzed, find creepy bone pillars, get a cursed sword stuck to their hand.
Trigger an alarm, find a staff of charming, outsmart some goblins, trigger a throne trap. Find a wand of secrets, see some ghosts, avoid instant death from a withered heart, get a massive magical boon.
And walk into a room with 3 manticores.
Whew. That is a lot packed into one session. It really shows the sheer density and variety of this dungeon.
Absolutely. What's fascinating here looking back is that mix. Combat, exploration, traps, social interaction, kind of powerful magic items, deadly curse items, environmental storytelling. It's got everything.
Yeah.
It really shows how unpredictable delving into a place like the Dungeon of the Mad Mage can be.
Yeah, it really does. So you've heard the breakdown of this one session. Hopefully this deep dive gave you a good feel for the adventure, maybe some surprises. What part of all that stood out most to you? Thinking about the cursed sword, the goblin throne incident, what would you have done in the party shoes?
It makes you think, doesn't it? Especially with things like the withered heart found right near where they get that amazing protective boon later on. It raises questions about the nature of risk and reward in these mythical dungeons. Is it all random chaos? Or is there almost a balancing act? Are the greatest potential rewards always right next door to the deadliest traps? And is that intentional? Something to ponder.